I wish to tell you, the Arendelle Alliance family, now, before this tale begins, that unlike every other story, this one has no end. If truth be told, this book is just the middle chapter. In God's plan, which spans from time before and begin time before time began to the infinite ever after, it's the story of God's glory at the heart of human history, in which God revealed who he is and uncovered the mystery. So as you hear it, may God's spirit stir inside your heart and bring you into his kingdom too. Now it's time for our story to start. Days, a promise came to Israel of old, whose prophets wrote of a coming hope and of a king foretold. From Abraham's line, this king would rise to bless the broken nations, and great King David's greater son would rule all of creation. They prophesied this prince of peace would free their captive land, fulfilling all God's purposes, his promises, and plans. They waited for their saving Lord, whom they put all their hope in, but several long centuries had passed since last their God had spoken. But God, who often seems to us to move so awfully slow, had planned to send Messiah soon, but little did they know that he, their long-awaited king who was about to come, was actually God's one and only blessed, beloved Son.
Once upon a midnight clear, heaven's song broke through the air. Peace and Once upon a bed of straw slept the sovereign Son of God, Lord of the universe, breathing the dust of earth. Wonderful.
Came to pass at last that after many generations, young Mary sat lost in her thoughts of wedding celebrations. The graceful maiden daydreamed of the most delightful plans, for Joseph, her betrothed, was known to be a righteous man. But as her glad mind wandered, the angel Gabriel appeared. "Greetings, O favored one," he said, but Mary shook in fear. "Fear not, for God will come to you, and in this very year you shall conceive a son who will bring heaven's kingdom near." "How can this be," replied Mary, "for a virgin such as I? The Holy Spirit will come on you in the power of the Most High. Your son will be the Holy Son of God, and he shall reign on David's throne forevermore. Jesus shall be his name." "Behold," responded Mary, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let everything be done to me according to your word." Then as the angel left her home, her world was rearranged, and prayerfully she pondered how her whole life would be changed.
Breath.
As time went on, Mary's child grew, and thus Joseph contemplated what the best thing he should do. He thought to call the wedding off and separate from Mary, for he knew the child was not his own, which his fiancée carried. And how could he have known that none of this was as it seemed, until the night an angel spoke to Joseph as he dreamed, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to make Mary your wife. The Holy Spirit has filled her womb with God's miraculous life. She shall bring forth a son, and the name Jesus you shall give him, for he will save his people, and their sins will be forgiven." When Joseph awoke, he went to work with no more hesitation and spent the day without delay in prayerful preparation. All this fulfilled prophecy that long ago proclaimed, "The virgin shall conceive a son, Emmanuel by name." Emmanuel means God with us, for that's who Jesus is, the Son of God and the Son of Man, who saves us from our sins. Time, Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome, decreed that every man must return to his ancestral home. So Joseph's pregnant white bride-to-be left Nazareth with him, and after nearly 100 miles, they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived, they found there was no lodging at the inn. So Joseph searched around the town for a resting place for them. He finally found a stable where the animals were kept. And about to faint without complaint, they lay down there and slept. But in the middle of the night, Mary awoke. The time had finally come, and she gave birth to Jesus, her beloved firstborn son. They wrapped him snug in strips of cloth, and for this king's first bed, they laid him in a manger where the animals had fed.
Please stand and join us as we sing.
In nearby fields where the shepherds kept their sheep, an angel in bright glory came and roused them from their sleep. Do not be fearful. I have come with good news of great joy. For unto you this day is born the promised baby boy. This news is for all people. Let the word be spread abroad. He is the Christ, the hoped-for King, the Savior sent from God. The stars all blazed forth in full brightness. More angels appeared, and all cheered, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom our God is pleased." Then they vanished as the awestruck shepherds rose from trembling knees. "Let's go to Bethlehem," they cried, "to find this newborn king." And when they found Joseph and Mary, they told them everything.
Please stand with us again.
Joyous dreams, glory.
After Jesus had been born, there came wise men from afar, who followed from the distant east by faith had followed a bright star. They came to cruel King Herod first, inquiring of the news. Where has God's promised child been born, the great King of the Jews? We saw his stars, and from afar have come to worship him. But Herod's hard and hateful heart hid wicked plans within. He summoned Israel's priests and scribes to test and question them, and from their scrolls they told him Christ would come from Bethlehem. Then to the wise man Herod lied, faking a friendly smile. I wish to worship him as well. Go find this royal child. So they left and let the star lead them till there in David's town. They found the boy, and filled with joy, they worshiped, fully bowed down. Then holding out their treasured chests, they said, three gifts we bring. The gift of gold was given first to honor Christ the King. Next, frankincense, a fitting gift for the heaven-sent high priest. Last, myrrh, which marked the sacrifice he would make for mankind. Now when the wise men went to leave, God warned them in a dream to head home by a different route, which ruined Herod's scheme. For evil plots could never stop God's great plan of salvation, to build his kingdom here on earth and restore his whole creation.
Kings of earth on a course unknown, bearing gifts from afar, hoping, praying, following yonder star, silhouette of a caravan painted against the sky, wise men searching for the holy child. One king held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh, one king held the purest gold, one king held the hope of the world. A star hangs over Bethlehem, a journey ends in the night. Three kings trembling behold the glorious sight. Heaven's treasure, Emmanuel, drawing men to bow down.
Of the world,
us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tiny baby, born to wear a crown. One king held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh, one king held the purest gold, one king held the hope of the world.
One king held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh, one king held the purest gold, one king held the hope of the world.
Now, friends, this is not a fairy tale or folklore or myth of glory. Although miraculous, this is the one true Christmas story. From heaven, the King came down to us in human form and flesh to save the world which he had made from Satan, sin, and death. And from ancient days up until today, to all who trust in Christ, the Father gives forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. So open up your hearts to hear to him. Believe the good news is true. Receive this glorious Christmas gift that God holds out to you.
Of the Father's love begotten, ere the world began to be, he the source of all that has been and all the future years will be. Evermore, evermore, he shall reign forevermore. Shall reign forevermore.
Oh, that birth forever blessed, when the chosen virgin go, by the Holy Ghost conceiving, the Savior of our world. Evermore, evermore, he shall reign forevermore. Humble King, sovereign Lord, he shall reign forevermore. Evermore, evermore, he shall reign forevermore. Humble King, sovereign Lord, he shall reign forevermore.
He is found in human fashion, death and sorrow here to know, that the race of Adam's children, doomed by law to endless woe, shall not henceforth die and perish in the dreadful gulf below, but forever rest in beauty in the light of heaven's glow. Evermore,
Tonight is about one thing, and one thing only. It's about Jesus' birth, and we're celebrating it with churches across the globe, with Christians, our brothers and sisters all over the world who are celebrating the same thing right now, that Christ is born, that Christ has come, that Christ lived, that Christ died. And after 3 days, that Christ was raised from the dead. That's what we're celebrating today. That's what we celebrate during this Christmas season. It's a celebration of Jesus and the new life that is possible in him. Christmas is not about the tree. It is not about decorations. It is not about family time. Christmas isn't even about having a break from school or work. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus and what that means for each one of us. I'm not sure where you've come here today at. I'm not sure if you've had a life of knowing Jesus and experiencing the changed life that he brings, or if you've been stuck in a life filled with regret, filled with shame, filled with guilt, maybe filled with hurt and disappointment, dissatisfaction, anxiety, fear. I'm not sure what you are feeling tonight, but I want you to know, we want you to know, that there is a new way to live, that Jesus brings new life. There is another way in which you can experience the life today, and that is because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. He radically changes our lives. Jesus is the one who created you. He has been there right beside you every moment of your day. He's been knocking at the door to your heart, asking for you to turn to him. He wants to completely change your life. It's something he offers you freely from his grace and mercy. There's nothing you can do or ever can do to earn this gift. It's free, but it will cost you. It'll cost you everything. It'll cost you everything because you have to give him control of your life. You have to give over your life to him. But in doing this, you will find freedom. In doing this, you will find forgiveness. You will find purpose. The Bible tells us this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your mouth that you it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So let's pause for a second. Let's take just one moment and just see what God might be telling us. Let's right now just bow our heads and let's just close our eyes. Let's just take a minute to see if the Holy Spirit has maybe been convicting us of something. Maybe right now through the service, the Holy Spirit has been convicting you of your sin. Maybe he's been calling you to give your life to Jesus, to give him control. Maybe you need to recommit your life to him. You've been straying. You've been trying to take control of your own life, and you need to take this moment to recommit your life to him, to give over the keys of your heart to him. I want you to pray along with me. With your eyes closed, your heads bowed, I want you to pray with me. No matter your situation, pray this with me. Lord God, I admit that I am a sinner in need of your grace. Lord, I admit that I have fallen short. I continue to fall short. Lord God, I believe in you. I believe that you died, that you rose, and that, Lord, in you there is freedom, there is forgiveness. Lord, I am so sorry for the times which I try to live life by myself. But I believe in you, and I confess that you are the Lord of my life, and I give you control of my life. I give you control of my dreams, of my hopes, of my desires. I give you control of everything. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you bring freedom. I'm so thankful that I don't have to try anymore. I don't have to try to be a better person, that I can just rest in you and follow you. And I choose to do this. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. In a moment, we are going to start lighting candles. And this is something we do every year. And in order to prepare for this, I'd ask, would you stand and grab your candle? And those of you who are going to be doing lighting, if you could just disperse around the service or the sanctuary, but don't start lighting anything yet. Don't start lighting. Just grab, be ready. We light candles every year. We light them every single year to signify the gospel message going out. Jesus calls us to, or Jesus calls those who believe in him the light of the world. Sorry for those online. You will just not have seen me right now. I think I'm too far, but this is a dramatic pause. Jesus calls us to be the light of the world. And right now, if this church was pitch black and I had just lit just this single little candle, it would illuminate this whole building. Go and try this at home. If you turn all the lights off and light one candle, it'll illuminate the whole building. And that's what our faith does. Our faith in Jesus Christ illuminates the world. We are the light of the world. And just as this little candle brings light, your lives bring light into this dark and difficult world. Jesus tells us to go and tell others about Jesus, to spread the news of the gospel. And that's what we're going to do right now. So those of you with lighters, start lighting candles. And if you get yours lit, just pass it along and show that spreading light of the gospel.
Oh, so fast. Hello. Merry Christmas.
Let us pray as we close. Lord God, let us be beacons of light and of hope to those in darkness, those in despair. Lord, help us to share the gospel message that you came, that you died, that you rose from the death, defeating sin and death, and that you offer us new life, eternal life, through faith in you. Amen. Enjoy this Christmas season. Go and share the gospel message with your neighbors, your loved ones, your friends. And with that, that brings the service to a close. And so go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, and have a blessed Merry Christmas. I thought it was going to blow. Oh, that one's still.